My name is Heath. I'm the lead pastor here at Reach Community Church, and we're in week four of a series that we started 4 weeks ago called The Essentials. And today we're going to talk about something that I would, in my thoughts and preparations yesterday, this kind of parallel came to my mind, thinking specifically about the veterans, in comparing veterans to the Holy Spirit. I think a lot of times in church, the Holy Spirit is something that can be kind of not talked about, appreciated from afar, but not really talked about, kind of like what we enjoy our freedom here and other countries are enjoying their freedom right now from what our veterans have sacrificed. We today do the same thing a lot of times to the Holy Spirit. We experience what it gives us, but a lot of times don't share our appreciation for them. So I'm so grateful for what we have the opportunity to do in this country because of what our veterans have done. So thank you from my end for you guys that are here in our church, that are representative, that have spent time in, that are at the beginning of their journey and in the middle of their journey. So we're grateful for that. So what I want to do today is not to give you an inclusive, meaning give you everything that you need to know about the Holy Spirit, but I want to give us some understanding so that we can build some appreciation, just like what we got to experience through Terry's testimony of things that he has experienced. It elevates our understanding of what they have gone through, which elevates our appreciation, which elevates our desire to show appreciation for our veterans. And I want to do basically the same thing about the Holy Spirit. Leading up to this, here's kind of the idea. What you believe about something will determine how you feel about it and what you do. And so what we did over the last 3 weeks, the first week we talked about Jesus and this reality that we cannot follow Jesus as a wise and grand mentor, as a good moral teacher, if we do not elevate him to what he says he was, which is God. Because if we just say, oh, he was a great teacher, we should follow his principles and forget the aspect that he called himself God, then we follow a madman that declares himself to be divine, which he isn't if he's not that. And so Jesus, understanding who Jesus is, really makes us into a place that if we know who he is, we learn to appreciate him so much more. In the second week, we talked about this idea of the resurrection, where it's one thing to understand who Jesus was, but the resurrection really, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, you know, without the resurrection, there is no church. There is no reason for us to be here. And so looking at some of the things that people would say, you know, the resurrection didn't happen because of these, but basing everything that we understand about the Bible and Jesus and our faith and our church on these two things. And then last week, we talked about salvation. There is a lot, we are touching on big topics here, partially because we don't have the time. I mean, each of these probably could be a 4 or 5 week series in itself, but the way we understand about salvation is going to determine how we feel and act on a daily basis. You know, getting this idea of understanding that there's something missing in our lives, that there's a need that I cannot make myself right before God the Father, that moves us, that knowledge moves us into repentance, which moves us into faith, which moves us into the Holy Spirit making us new. And so today what I want to do is, as we look at this, is I want to give you, and again it's not all inclusive, but I want to give you 11 things that we need to know specifically about the Holy Spirit. And if we understand these things, it will elevate who we are. Because the reality is there's nothing that we experience here that isn't through the Holy Spirit. If you're in this room and you declare yourself to be a person of faith and you are saved by Jesus, that is a work of the Holy Spirit. If you, during worship, had a feeling or a connection to the Father through worship, that was because of the Holy Spirit. And how we view and act about the Holy Spirit will change the way we walk this life out. And so here's number one. The first thing you need to know about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is not a lesser of the Trinity. I read one commentary that talked about a lot of people look at it as large F Father, large S Son, and then lowercase Holy Spirit. It's kind of like Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And we need to understand, if we're going to look at the Holy Spirit, that it's not a lesser part. It is fully divine. And so here are just two scriptures, and there's a lot more, but I want to give some background behind each one. So the first one that I'm going to tie this in is a crazy story about in Acts 5, verses 3 and 4. And let me give you a little background. And so the church had begun. Holy Spirit was poured out. You know, the church was doing things that it had never seen done. When they said earlier that they were going to do, his disciples would do greater things than he, Peter preached one sermon, 3,000 plus people get saved, they get baptized that day, a movement began. And so what happens is this church was just on fire. They wanted to see God move. They wanted to give to the church. And so one of the disciples sold a piece of land and brought it, not for his own glory, but for the church. He brought it to the apostles and said, "Here's the money. Do whatever is necessary for us to expand the kingdom of God." And so there was some people that didn't get it. They looked at that and they go, "Everybody likes this person because they gave money. And look at that, he looks good." And so this couple, Ananias and Sapphira, they actually decide to sell a piece of land. And they sell a piece of land for a given price, and they bring it to the disciples, and they say, "This is what we sold this piece of land, and we're going to give you all the money." But what they had done is they had sold a piece of land, and let's say it cost $100,000. They got $100,000 back, and they said, "Well, we're going to give the church 80, and we're going to keep 20. You're like, "Oh, like this is, I would never use this text to talk about tithing, but it's pretty crazy." And so it wasn't necessarily that they weren't giving the church the whole amount, because that wasn't required. The issue is that they lied about it because they wanted the glory. And so picking up in verse 3, it says, Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land?" Which was a question. Verse 4, it says, "While it remains unsold, did it not remain your own?" So he's saying, hey, it was yours to begin with. Why the lie? And then after that, it says, "And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? Why have you have not lied to man but to God?" So the two parallels there to understand about the Holy Spirit being God here is he's going, "Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit?" And he continued the dialogue to go, "You have not lied to man, but you have lied to God," comparing the two. And then right after that, Ananias fell over dead, and the first youth group, called them young men, the first youth group gathered him up, took him outside, buried him. A little bit later, his wife comes in and does the exact same thing, and the guy was like, "Hey, don't you see the dirty shoes of the men who just buried your husband?" And she fell over dead, and they carried her and buried her outside. So the key here is understanding that the Holy Spirit, which is how we connect to God the Father here, is not less than, he is the same. Another one in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, it says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Comparing the two, the Lord and the Spirit, understanding how we view the Holy Spirit is it is it. Whew, I'm just fell into my next point, which is to not call it an it. The Holy Spirit, he is a co-equal in the Trinity, not a lesser than. And that will change the view of the Holy Spirit. Number two, the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it. This one is a little bit more difficult to look at unless you look at what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit, and we're going to cover most of these scriptures on that will explain these, but he teaches, he speaks, he gives, he comprehends, he guides. So there is a understanding that it is not just a force. Now, I know everybody's really excited, like me, to go see Star Wars. No? okay? Come on, people. So you're excited, you've seen the trailers, and everybody that's had a background in Star Wars, they understand the idea of the Force. And see, there's a big misconception that the Holy Spirit is like the Force. It really cannot be understood, but it's what guides all things. The Holy Spirit can be understood. The Holy Spirit can be comprehended because He is a person, not an it. So number three, the Holy Spirit using people wrote the Bible. So the Bible that you have in your hands right now was authored by God the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit to people who heard and wrote the Scripture. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, it says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." So what we have in our hands right now, if you've got a Bible, if it's on an app, the words that we read, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So the prophetic words, even in the Old Testament that we experience when we're talking about who would come and how it would happen, and got all the prophetic words about Jesus and even the end times, those were breathed into man and written by God. Number four, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. John 14, verse 26, and just for the record, probably one of the greatest kind of resources for really getting a perspective from Jesus about the Holy Spirit, John 14, 15, and 16 are great. You'll see several verses over the next couple that we're going to go through, but the Holy Spirit is our teacher. John 14, 26, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you." See, this is good to know because over the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about the Bible. Next week and the week after that, we're going to talk about this idea of disciplines and being in the Word and in prayer and how this cultivates our relationship, and they are essential to who we are. But understanding that it is the Holy Spirit who teaches us. It actually says in these scriptures that I don't have enough time, nor will you understand, even if I give them to you, all the things that you need to understand. But when I send the Counselor, the Helper, He will give you the understanding you need. The great thing is, if you are a child of God, if you have the Holy Spirit, God has equipped you to learn what you need to learn. See, the way we view the Holy Spirit, so we can sit at our Bible and go, "I don't understand, you know, I'll never get this, I'll never have what I need." Or we can, before we open our Word, go, "God, you've given me something that you've deposited in me called the Holy Spirit that is going to teach me everything that I need to know." And the way we view that, and the way we open our Word, the way we learn to listen to that voice that speaks to us, will lead us into the things that we need. Number five, the Holy Spirit will be the one who convicts. John 16, 8 says, "And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." See, here's the beauty. If at some point in your life, if you are a Christian, that point has happened or something got broken, at some point you realized and were convicted by your past behaviors or your past lifestyle or things that you have allowed yourself to go into, that they were sin, and you need to move away from those. This wasn't a church that told you that. Now, sometimes we do a negative, and we teach behavior modification, which is to try harder, be better. But it is the Holy Spirit that really desires to bring change in us. So if you feel bad about something, if you walk into something, if something utters out of your mouth, if you say something hateful to someone, and then afterwards in your soul you're like, "I should not have done that," that is not a moral side of you that is responding. That's the Holy Spirit that's going, hey, this is not okay. The problem is if we have an incorrect view of the Holy Spirit, we will allow that conviction just roll off our back and go, I don't want to do anything about that. Instead of understanding that when conviction comes and the Holy Spirit brings it, our only response to that is to turn from it, to repent of it, to bring restoration to those that we've offended. Number six, the Holy Spirit is our guide. John 16:13, it says, when the Holy Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Just like Jesus said to his disciples, I do not say anything unless I hear the Father saying it. I don't do anything unless I hear the Father telling me to do it. The Holy Spirit is the same. He's saying, hey, I'm going to hear for you what the Father is speaking, and I'm going to speak it to you. I'm going to declare these things to you, and he'll guide you into that truth. 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. See, the world is going to try to tell you what is right. Whether it be who is able to marry who, whether it is what relationship should be, or how your lifestyle should be, or how you should live your life, the world is going to try to guide you on their path. And the thing is, when the Holy Spirit comes, it allows us to see what is and what isn't the truth of God. He guides us into that. Number seven, the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. John 16:14 says, he will glorify me, and he will take what is mine and declare it to you. See, the Holy Spirit will speak with authority and glorify the Son. He will call people into an understanding of who Jesus is. Number eight, the Holy Spirit gives power. Acts 1:8. And let me give you a little background on here. So this was right when the power is poured out. So disciples spent 3 years with Jesus, seeing the power and authority, seeing him raise people from the dead, seeing him heal people of leprosy, of diseases. Never was there any healing from them. Jesus was doing things that weren't possible. And they saw and they heard him teach and they heard these things. And he even told them over and over again, hey, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die. I'm going to be resurrected. And so he gets captured just like he said he would. They declare, even Peter was like, I will die with you. And so he pulls out his sword and his, you know, non-swordsman Smith way, he swipes somebody's ear off their head. Jesus picks it up and puts it back on their head, and everybody else runs away and they leave. I mean, these are weak. They have no guidance without Jesus. Jesus had already said, hey, it's to your benefit that I leave, because when I leave, the counselor comes. And that's better for you, because the counselor will be with you always. Where Jesus was a person that lived in flesh that was only going to be able to interact with those directly around them. And so here's a group of guys that weren't outside of the tomb. They weren't waiting for the tomb to be rolled back. They weren't waiting for Jesus to come out. They were in hiding. There was a few women waiting. They weren't even waiting. They were there just to redress him, because they didn't get to finish the ritualistic dressing for the tomb. So they were going to come in and finish the work that they started, because the Sabbath, and he was gone. And so they went to tell the disciples. They didn't even believe him. They still didn't get the reality. I mean, see, these don't sound like men that could change our world. These don't seem like men that we are talking about them right now because of what they did. And the reason for that is, and Jesus understood this, he said, hey, don't go anywhere. I need you to stay in Jerusalem until the power comes. And so they waited, And they were worshiping together in an upper room, and the power came. Acts 1:8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And the next one's talking about the gifts, but here's something to understand. I think some churches have gotten a little skewed in their sense of the gifts. Dangerous ground to be walking on, because some people are like, yeah, yeah, and some people are like, oh, you better watch out. You better not talk about my gifts of the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you, looking at this, the gifts were given so that we would be witnesses. The gifts were not given so that we would go, look at our amazing gifts. And I think sometimes the church has moved into the arena of going, look at me and all these great things that God's given me, and it builds me up and people like me, instead of what it was intended to do. Now, do I believe that the gifts are still here? Yes. Do I believe that the same power that God offered in Acts 1 is still alive and well today? Absolutely. But it is all to point back to Jesus. It is all to build the church. And if it's only building you, then it's not doing what it was called to do. The power was given to them so that they would be witnesses to the whole world, which is what it's saying here, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It was not given so they could feel good about themselves. It wasn't even given so they could experience God. It was given so that through their experience that God would reach the world around them. See, what's cool about this, if you continue that on, so they waited, the Holy Spirit fell, not because of their great education, not because of their great training. Peter walked outside and gave a sermon that changed our world. I mean, we're meeting in a middle school over 2,000 years later because Jesus did what he said he was going to do, and because he empowered some normal people to change our world. Number 9, the Holy Spirit is the gift giver. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, it says, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Also understanding, you can write these down. I'm not going to go into all of them, but you can actually, if you want to kind of research a little bit more, Romans 12 has a list of gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 has a list of gifts. And Ephesians 4 has a list of gifts. If you want to kind of go through those and look at those, here's some things that you need to understand about gifts. The gifts were given for the greater good, and the gifts were given as the Holy Spirit saw fit. Here's what you need to understand. Not everyone got all the gifts. There is not a gift that everyone is going to have, but God, understanding that the body has needs that are going to be separate than just one thing, that He enables everyone to carry a gift to build the common good. So here's what you need to understand. If you are a believer, if the Holy Spirit is inside of you, God has given you a gift. You may not be walking in it, you may not know what it is, you may not understand what it is, but God has equipped you, has empowered you to do something specific for the body of Christ because He is the gift giver. I encourage you, there's a couple of different books if you're really intrigued. R.T. Kendall, there's a book I'm reading on. Actually, he has 21. I picked 11 for today. He has 21 of these. R.T. Kendall wrote a book called Holy Fire, written in the last year. It's a great book talking about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does and is. There's another great book, thin, called The Word and Power Church. If you want to look at, just the history of the Holy Spirit working and manifesting itself, His self in the church today, two great little resources that you can read. And here's the last one. And this one is, I want to camp out on for a second, and then we're going to close and really give an opportunity for us to ask for more. The Holy Spirit gives renewed power. I think another misconception of the Holy Spirit is an event that happens once and then that's it. The Holy Spirit did fall. Acts 2, tongues of fire, people operate in their gifts right after Holy Spirit fell. And so the church exploded. The people around there were like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. The Jewish synagogue, the Jewish rulers did not like this. They tried to shut it down. They arrested Peter and one of his buddies. They beat him and tell him, you may not preach the name of Jesus or the resurrection. And so in Acts 4, they gather, he gets released, they have been warned, and they go and pray. And in that prayer, they're like, hey, we want to be bold, we want to reach our city. And this is what happened in response to the persecution that came into their desire to be what God has called them to be for their city. Acts 4, verse 31, it says, and when they prayed, the place in which they gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. This part is constant and ongoing. I look at it. There was a illustration put out a couple years ago about guy who he would go down to the river, and he had two clay pitchers that he would fill up with water, and he'd carry it all the way up there. And on the way up there, he had one of them that had a leak in it, and he just was just kind of aggravated for this reality that he was losing the water on the way up there. And what happened over the months that he was doing this, he got to see the fruit of what leaked out. And so on the trail all the way up there, on that side where that bucket was, he saw the benefit of what the water does as it was poured out on all these flowers and all these plants on the way up there, and the one on that side grew and flourished. You know, I look at our life with the Holy Spirit as like a leaking bucket. There is not a, I've got enough. It is a constant and ongoing process to put more water in it. In our house, we have this little thing called a Berkey. You're like, what is that? If you've been to our house, we have this like, steel thing that looks like it's got water that comes out of it, and it's a water purifier. You're supposed to be able to take water out of your river or whatever and put it in this, and it's supposed to purify it. Well, here's the thing of it, is it's going to purify the water and put it in this little container that you can get water out of it and put it in your refrigerator and drink it, but it is an ongoing process. Like, I can't fill it up once and expect that I'm going to get water out of it for the rest of its life on. I mean, we constantly keep this blue pitcher that we fill it up with water, and we fill the top, and it drip, 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 drip. It drips through these little carbon filters that give us clean water that we can drink. And it's a process, and this is what our life as followers of Jesus has to look like. If we're not asking for the Holy Spirit to give us more, we're not going to get more. Like, if we're not expecting the Holy Spirit, and if we're not looking at this going, it's the Holy Spirit that teaches, it's the Holy Spirit that guides. I mean, I won't show hands here, but like, how many people wake up in the morning and go, you offer to teach me and to guide me? How many people start their day going, I want what you offer? Doesn't it have to be hokey, like, I want the Holy Spirit, and you have to wait until the gold dust falls from your, you know, if that happens, you know, collect it, give part of it to the church. If it doesn't happen, you're okay. I'm not seeing gold dust either. But here's the reality, is that you should be expecting in the morning to connect to the Holy Spirit and saying, Holy Spirit, I need you today. Because the same testing that you're going to experience in your life is going to happen every day. You need more of the Holy Spirit. And as you pour out what God gives you, you ask for more. Ephesians 5:8, at the end of that, last part of that, it says, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a Greek imperative, suggests an ongoing action. You're never going to have enough of the Holy Spirit. You have to constantly live in a place of going, He is our connection. He is our lifeline. He is who teaches us. He is who guides us. He is our connection to the Father. It's living in us. He is our guarantee. He is our guarantee of inheritance. It's living inside of us right now. And so I'm going to invite our worship team up. And what I would like to do in this last song is for you, for me, to have a moment of weakness, a moment of clarity. God has more for you, and it's always going to come through the Holy Spirit. And so if you're struggling today with sin, if you're struggling today with the reality of your identity, if you're struggling today with hearing the voice of God, the answer to all of that is the Holy Spirit. And so what I'd like to do as we close in this last song is literally for us to ask for more. Jesus said that to knock and keep knocking, to ask and keep asking, to seek and keep seeking. It's this reality that He's a good Father that is not sitting there going, well, if you behave, I'll give you your portion. He's a good Father that's saying, hey, come to me and allow me to give you your identity. And so I'm going to pray for us. If you're in this room right now and you've not experienced the life that comes through Jesus by the Holy Spirit, then just ask. Come to the realization that you cannot do what is necessary, that Jesus has done it all, and all you have to do is to confess, repent, and allow the Holy Spirit to do what He does. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it is by Your grace and Your mercy, Lord, that we even get the offer of more. And Lord, I just pray that You would forgive us. Lord, that we have to wait once a year to thank our veterans for what they've done for us. And Lord, I pray that You would forgive us, that we would have to wait until someone tells us about this part of You that's the Holy Spirit, for us to show appreciation for what He does in our lives, what He is doing now, what He will continue to do. And so, Lord, I just pray right now in Jesus' name that, Lord, if we're missing something, the Holy Spirit can give it to us. Lord, I just lift up that this idea that we don't have because we don't ask. And so, Lord, I pray that You would bring conviction if there's sin in our life, Lord, that You would allow us to confess, repent, and turn from that. But Lord, I pray that today, while this song is going on, that we would just come to terms that You've deposited in us everything we need. Lord, You're more than we need. Lord, forgive us for thinking that it needs to be about us. It needs to be more of this and more of that that isn't You. And Lord, I just ask that You would allow the Holy Spirit to just do what only He can do in us. So Lord, we thank You that You breathe life to dead places, Lord, that You pull out hardened hearts and You put a heart of flesh in there so we can follow You. And Lord, so I pray that You would pour out on us. Lord, I even pray right now, Lord, if there's people in this room that don't know their gifting, their calling, Lord, I pray that You would be the great gift giver. And Lord, You would begin to allow them to see the gifts that You've deposited in them. And Lord, how they're to use them to benefit the common good of Your church. So thank You for Your grace and Your mercy and Your affection for us, Your beloved. In Jesus' name, amen.